In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, Jesus spoke these words, and I want those of you that are here in the sanctuary to receive it. Those of you that are viewing the live stream, I hope you will receive it as well. These words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, and the 33rd verse. Jesus had been teaching, and he said these words, the 33rd verse. He says, "These things I have spoken to you." And I want to stop right there just for a moment. His word is what God is speaking to you and to me every day of our lives. His word is what we live by. His word is what we live by. And so Jesus said, these things, the things that he had been telling them, I have spoken to you that in me, everybody say in him, that in me you may have peace. Amen. And my subject, again, and I don't have this in my notes, I just want to read this to you, but my subject, again, is a place of rest, because the people of God need to learn to rest. Amen. They need to learn to rest. Amen. So Jesus said, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you listening? In the world, you will have tribulation. We have to understand things are not always going to be easy. But you can have peace. You can be at rest even in a world of tribulation. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. He didn't say cry, sob, throw in the towel. No, he said be of good cheer. Why? They have it on the board. So why did he say that? Read it. Read it like you believe it. That's what Jesus said. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. He didn't say I was going to overcome it. He said I have. I have overcome the world. And we need to always be mindful of the fact that, yes, things are not going well, not always going to go well in the world, but I can be of good cheer. I can be at rest. I can be at peace, because Jesus has already declared that he overcame the world. So if Jesus is a world overcomer, guess what I am? Hallelujah. I am a world overcomer. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for everyone that's under the sound of my voice. And I pray, dear Lord, that they will have ears to hear and a heart to receive the living, powerful word of God here today. Hallelujah. Having their lives changed. Father, may the word of peace be imparted to them. May mercy be extended to them. Hallelujah. May joy overflow them. Hallelujah. May the word of victory come to them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, we'll give you the glory, we'll give you the honor, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. So don't you ever forget the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Amen? Amen? All right, now, having said that, let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. That's where we started off last week, and I think the week before. We jumped off from Matthew chapter 11, and I want to do the same thing once again today. We're building, aren't we? In John chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, I want to begin reading again at verse 28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a promise. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Ain't that what we want to walk in? Yeah. Oh, glory to God. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Glory to God. Now, I ministered to you last week and the week before the four things that we need to do. And we find them in the 37th Psalm, Psalm 37. And you can read Psalm 37. Number one, we found out that to live in peace, to be at rest, we got to trust God. We got to trust God. Whenever we see things that looks contrary, we've got to trust God. I don't care what happens, my brother, my sister, it boils down to this one thing. We must trust God. Why do you think Jesus rebuked the disciples when they were in the ship and the storm came up? Ship was taken on water. Jesus, they woke him up because they were so afraid. Jesus stilled the storm. But then he had to rebuke his disciples. He had to chastise them. And he told them, he said, "Oh, you of little faith, little faith." How many of you know that a storm is a serious thing? How many of you know that boat taking on water is a serious matter? And that boat can only take on so much water, then it's going to begin to sink, right? So the boat sinks. Guess what's going to happen? The occupants are going to have to swim if they know how to swim. But because we're in the human body, even you can be an expert swimmer, but an expert swimmer can only swim for so long because they get tired. What am I saying? There are a lot of potentials. There are a lot of potentials. There are potentials every day of our life. Potential things can happen that are not good. That's the reason. Hear me, please. Hear me. That's the reason we must make a decision that we are going to trust God and keep our hearts tuned in to God for his instruction. Because God wants to talk to us every day. You know, it's more than just saying, I trust God, but you never bother to pray. You never bother to get in his word. You never bother to spend time with him. Yeah, we trust him, but you know what? We need to hear from him. He promised in Proverbs that he would direct our path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And what did he say he would do? He said he would direct our path. But we got to trust him, and we got to keep our eyes on him. We got to listen to him. We got to be sensitive to him. Amen. But we got to trust him. Hallelujah. Amen. So let me move on. So the first thing was we got to trust God, and then we got to continually rejoice, delight ourselves in him. Don't let this devil steal your joy. Amen. And number three, we talked about commitment, committing everything to him, every situation, every circumstance, you commit to him. And then, of course, the fourth thing that we talked about was resting in him, resting in him, resting in the Lord. And all this is found in the 37th Psalm. Hallelujah. And then we moved on because, again, I hear people say, and sometimes it's amazing to me. It amazes me sometimes how people think sometimes. You hear people say things like, and there's nothing wrong with this in the right place. How you doing today, sister? How you doing today, brother? Oh, praise the Lord, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed to be stressed. Well, I mean, that sounds good. I mean, that's where we should be, right? I mean, you know, we don't need to be stressed out. But that's more than just a cliche. It needs to be real in our lives. Now, like I told y'all, sometimes I do look at Facebook. Don't have an account myself. As of right now, don't have any plans to get one. My wife has one, so I just share hers. I figure that's enough. But you know, sometimes you scroll, and you know, on Facebook you got, what you call that page? You just scroll. There's a name for it. Y'all know. Huh? News feed. See, y'all sitting here trying to act all holy. Y'all know y'all got your Facebook. Y'all know all the details of Facebook. Y'all ain't fooling me. But news feed, that's right. News feed. Sometimes you be, you know, I'll be scrolling news feed, and I come across something like, God sure is good. God is blessing me. Good things are happening. You know, just something, you know, supposedly giving glory to God. But then the picture would be of a half-dressed woman. You see breasts, thighs, but they're talking about the goodness of the Lord. Anybody else ever seen that? And come on, y'all, tell the truth. Now you talking about the Lord, and I can't get past how this person is dressed that's supposedly being blessed by the Lord. I have a problem with that. What am I saying? We need to talk about the goodness of the Lord, but we need to be real. We need to be genuine in our lifestyle. Which takes me back to Jeremiah chapter 6. Let's go back there again. If you want rest in your life, if you want peace in your life, you can have it. It's a promise from God. Amen. God promised us peace. God said we can live in victory. But you have to understand something. The promises of God are conditional. The Bible tells us very plain that we are laborers together with him. God has his part to do, and we have our part to do. But if we want to reap the benefits of God's promises, we've got to do our part. And so now we're living in a time, and it's always been this way, really, but sometimes I think it's gotten worse, where, you know, we want God on this hand, but we want the world on this one. And so what happens? So we are under conviction. How many of you know when we're not doing things the way we should do, we get convicted, right? Anybody in here ever been convicted by the Spirit of God? Amen. Well, if you've been convicted by the Spirit of God, raise your hand and just keep it up. Keep it up. Amen. Because I'm just looking around to see who ain't telling the truth. Because if your hand ain't up, you ain't telling the truth. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. At some point in our life, the Spirit of God have to deal with us about things. Amen. Even us married people especially know that. Sometimes, you know, the spouse get on your nerve and you wind up saying something you shouldn't have said, and then you have to say it, and then you have to go back and say, listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that that way. I shouldn't act that way. You know, Lord, forgive me. I was wrong. Anybody else ever had to do it? I'm talking about the married folk right now. I'm talking married folk. Amen. Anybody ever had to do that? The married folk. I'm just looking around at the married folk. Amen. Come on. Now, it's only married folks. You got a hand. Come on. Y'all, get your hand. If you've ever had to apologize, say, I was wrong. Amen. Okay. All right. We have a lot of confessing here this morning. Glory to God. But here's the issue with too many people. They want God, and they want the promises of God to work in their lives. They want God's blessings, but they want to live their lives the way they want to. And sometimes, here's what happens sometimes, and it even happens, is happening with even ministers. Thank God, not all of them. God's got some good preachers. Amen. But not all of them are preaching the whole Word of God. So sometimes you want to do certain things, or you want to live a certain way, or you want to have a certain type of lifestyle, and you know that it doesn't line up with the Word of God. So what do they do? They go and they try to change the Word of God. They try to reinterpret what the Word of God is saying when it's really not saying what they say it is saying. How many of you know you can take the Bible out of context and try to make it say anything you want it to say by taking it out of context? But here's what happens when people do that: they're not at peace. They're not at rest. Oh, they may try to pretend everything's all right, but it's really not. because they're not being obedient to the word of God. So now, if we're going to walk in God's rest and God's peace, we're going to have to do it his way. Amen. We're going to have to do it according to his word. Now, back in Jeremiah chapter 6, I want to read again. I read this last week, and I want to read it again. Verse 16, Jeremiah 6, 16. Listen to what the word of God says. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Now, think about it for a moment. Old path. The old path is the word of God. The word of God. The ways of God, this Bible right here. Amen. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path, where the good way is, and what are we to do? Walk in it. Walk in it. And then it goes on to say, then you will find rest for your souls. Notice, the rest comes after you walk, you make a decision that you're going to walk in the good ways of the Lord, or as we would say today, making a choice that I'm going to walk and live according to the word of God. I'm going to do it the way the word of God say do it, and not the way I want to do it. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, now this is people for you, we will not walk in it. No, we're going to do it our way. We're going to make for ourselves a new way. You know, some folks have attempted to take grace and water it down, try to make it mean something that it does not mean. Yes, we're saved by grace. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes, we are. We're saved by grace. But just because we're saved by grace does not give us a license to live any way we want to live, do anything we want to do. And then just yell out, well, grace got me covered. Grace got me covered. No, you can't do that. Let me read on. Verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, what? We will not listen. And I want to read it to you once again from the New Living Translation. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. I posted watchmen over you who said, listen for the sound of the alarm. But you replied, no, we won't pay attention. Oh, glory to God. Whatever you do, listen to me good. Never try to change the word of God to fit what you want to do. And do not let anyone else tell you that the word of God doesn't really mean what it says. You listening to me? Because see, we got to recognize where we are. We got to recognize the environment that we're living in right now. And deception is out there, folks. The spirit of deception is alive and well. Minister Gainey and I was praying about a person before service today that's completely out in left field. They out there in left field. What they're doing and the way they're living does not line up with the Word of God. Listen to me on this. Do not allow yourself to be in a vulnerable state where the devil can easily come and whisper in your ear something that you want to hear, but it's not right. He is not a gentleman. And just because you're weak and just because you're down does not mean that he's going to have mercy on you. No, he's going to press in even harder. I want to help you with something. If you lose a loved one, a spouse, a child, do not allow yourself to get in that state to where you'll fall for anything. Because not everybody that pats you on the back, not everybody that says it's going to be all right, is good for you. Don't get caught in a weak moment. You still here? Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to Mark, fourth chapter, Mark. Mark chapter 4. Always remember this. Always remember this. It's important that you hear the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we are to live, right? But in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was teaching them again, and he was teaching them the parable of the sower. You've read it, right? You're familiar with the parable of the sower. In Mark chapter 4, verse 14, as Jesus was beginning to explain to them what he meant, verse 14, Jesus said, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm sowing the Word of God into you. And I hope you're receiving it. But listen at what he said in verse 15. Where verse 14 says, the sower sows the Word. And then verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside where the Word is sown. When they hear, you still with me? When they hear, Satan comes. Immediately. And takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Always remember, the enemy wants to take the word away from you. Because a person full of the word of God, number one, that person is a person of peace. That knows the word and walking in the word, that they know that's a powerful person. That's a person that he cannot manipulate. That's a person that he cannot defeat. Are you still here? So what he wants to do is steal the word away from you. He wants you to hear the word, and then he wants to distract you to the place where you forget what you heard. And you never get it settled in your spirit. See, what I read to you at the beginning, where Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. There's going to be some tough times, but be of good cheer. That need to be right in your belly. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but he told us to be at peace and to have good cheer. Get that on the inside of you. Why? Because Jesus has already overcome the world. But if that's not on the inside of you, you're going to go crazy. You understand what I'm saying? You'll be full of fear. You won't know which way to turn. It doesn't matter what comes down the pipe. We need to know what to do when it happens. We need to know what to say when it happens. Well, you know, they say there's another pandemic coming, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen. Well, what are we to do? Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm scared. What are we going to do? You open your mouth and begin to declare the word of God. Open your heart to hear what he is saying to you, that you know what to do. When Jesus got up out of that boat, he knew what to do. Are y'all still? Amen. Amen. I hope you're grabbing hold of this, because there's coming a time you're going to need it. Why would the Bible tell us, having done all to stand, then stand? Well, having done all to stand, this is Ephesians chapter 6. Having done all to stand, what does that mean? That means that you have prepared yourself. You spent your time with God. You spent your time in the Word of God. You are prepared. So I'm going to stand on what I know. I'm going to stand on what's on the inside of me. And sometimes we have to declare. Can I tell y'all something? I don't think I'm crazy. Hope you don't think that anyway. Jesus rebuked the disciples because of their lack of faith, which means then that they should have done what Jesus did and let him go ahead and get his nap out. Because remember, they had been with him. They heard him teach. They saw him work miracles. But then when the storm came, they forgot everything that he had taught them. What he expected them to do was to stand up and do what he did. Peace be still. Right? Why did he chastise them for their lack of faith? I mean, man, if the boat's about to sink and you don't know what to do, you got plenty to be concerned about. But he had been teaching them the whole time to stand. To stand. The devil would take whatever he can unless we stop him. The Bible tells us when the enemy comes in like a flood, what? What's that? I can't hear you. Amen. Raise up, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. We are God's hands. We are God's feet. We are God's mouthpiece in the earth. Why does the Bible tell us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Huh? Why didn't God just send some angels down here and have them to preach to the world that Jesus saves? No, God told us to do it. God told us to do it. Can I ask you a question? Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you prepared to stand? Are you willing to stand? My wife and I, a few weeks back, standing, looking out our back door, and I believe a tornado came through or something. I mean, maybe it wasn't a tornado, but the winds were strong, and we were standing looking at the trees off the deck, and man, the trees were just shaking, and then tops start falling out of them, and you know, just falling to the ground. What did we do? Say it again. Absolutely. We begin to take authority over that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We took authority over it. Thank God. Nothing happened to our place. Amen. Nothing happened to our place. Y'all remember Hugo? Some of you too young to remember Hugo. Hugo was a mean guy. He was mean. But I remember us being gathered in our house, and the power was out, and we got in the center of the house, and that wind howling and howling and howling. Some of you remember, you were old enough to remember. It was rough. But we took authority over it. Wind was howling, we took authority over it. And it destroyed a lot of property. We got up the next morning and looked around, and the house was in good shape. We had an old storage building out back that seems to me, if you blew on it hard, it'd fall over. That thing was still standing. You hear me? That thing was still, I mean, it would look like it was on its last legs, but that thing was still standing. We looked, I walked out to the road and I saw where a tornado had gone past the house and just had a path where the trees was down, where that tornado went through there. But you know what? That tornado could have been a few yards over, about a half a football field over, and it would have been our house. But guess what? It wasn't. Are y'all still here? I know Tony has a testimony. Food Lion, when that another tornado came through, some of you remember it, that thing was nasty. That thing was nasty. What year was that, Tony? That was in the 80s? Yeah, you... Tony, you do remember, don't you? Say it a little louder. We want to make sure you remember. What date was that?
March 28th,
1984. Amen. Nasty tornado. You were standing in the middle Food Line, right? You rebuked it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, folks, don't look at me like I'm crazy, because I'm not. But why are we told to pray? Why did Jesus say that I've given you authority over all the works of the devil? Well, hold on, preacher. These are acts of God. Well, okay, if you want to say so, while your house is being blown away, that you've worked so hard for, to pay for, making your mortgage payments or whatever. But look, if you want to blame it on God, that's you. I choose not to. Because my Bible tells me God is good. God is good. But yes, we living in a fallen world, and things happen. Tornadoes are going to happen. Hurricanes are going to happen. They talking about a couple forming out there now. This stuff is going to happen. But listen, the saints of God need to pray. The saints of God need to stand up. That's what God is looking for. I think I'm a little bit off my subject, but that's okay. But that's what God is looking for, his people to stand up and declare in his name and say no to some of this stuff. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. But we need to pray. The problem with us, we too many times we're caught up talking about the problem and not talking about the solution to the problem. God is the solution to any problem. Y'all still here? Let me say that one more time. God is the solution to any problem. Man, if I can get you talking to God, if I can get your face in the Word of God, then I've done my job. If I can get you trusting God, I haven't asked anybody to do anything foolish, have I? I haven't asked anybody to do anything unwise. If it's raining, get in the house. No, when Hugo came through, I wasn't outside rebuking it. I was in the house. In the dark. But I believe God for the protection of my family and myself. And God came through for it. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Y'all getting anything out of this? But listen, we got to walk with him, folks. We just can't live any kind of way. We got to walk with him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'm going to tell this on one of my sons. And I just want to let him know right now, I love him so much. I always have. But he had bought, what, Kathy, a half a gallon of ice cream? That's when Hugo came through. Yeah. He brought a half a gallon of ice cream. I don't know what his thinking process was. I didn't know if he thought we were all going to be taken out of here and his ice cream was going to be left uneaten. Yeah, power was out. Yeah. But he tried to eat that whole half a gallon of ice cream. I don't remember. Did he eat it all, or he tried? He tried to eat that whole, I think he may have come close to eating it, the whole half a gallon of ice cream, because he didn't want it to melt, and he didn't offer his siblings any. But the winds were blowing, and the light was out. Lights was out. Things were rough outside, but he was consuming his ice cream. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Can you receive what I told you today? God wants his people to stand up. If we'll stand up and take authority, if we'll stay in our place, do what God's called us to do, we can change some things. Otherwise, why pray? What's the purpose of prayer? To change things. If things are not going to change, then why pray? Why petition God if nothing ever going to change? We're laborers together with him. We pray to change things. Things that the devil had in mind of doing, we can change them by petitioning God. Well, God knows what's going on. He can stop it. No, that's our job. That's our job. We are told to pray in the name of Jesus. And God would hear us. Pray the prayer of faith and God would hear us. And I know what some people think. Well, Pastor, I prayed this and I prayed that and I did this and things didn't work out the way I thought they were. Don't get bogged down there. You just keep building your faith. You just keep building your faith. Amen. I think every person in here can say that some things didn't turn out the way I thought they were going to turn out. Don't get bogged down there. God's word is still the same. It never changed. God is still perfect. God is still powerful. What I have to do is change me. And first of all, I have to ask myself if what I was praying for, did that even line up with God's word? Number two, was I praying and speaking doubt and unbelief the whole time? You know, pray, come up for prayer and get the pastor to lay hands on you for this or for that. And then when you leave church, you're talking doubt, you're talking unbelief, all that stuff coming out of your mouth. There are reasons that things, believe me, there are reasons that things don't happen. What we need to do is make sure that we're on point. And if we miss it in some areas, I look at me. God is never at fault. God is never to blame. Let me say that again. God is never to blame. Don't you blame God for anything that happened to you or anyone else. Don't you blame God. Don't you fall for that. God loves you and God is faithful to his word. Why didn't God stop it? Stop it. Say, Lord, change me. And you have work to increase your knowledge. Remember, and I'm going to have to close on this. The word of God says, and God says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. What is that? Hosea 4:6? Am I saying that right? Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Yes, knowledge of his word. His word is his will. We got to know his will. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Father, we thank you. I pray, Father God, that